Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. We have a great show for you today. We'll be talking with Chief Information Security Officer at the Navy Federal Credit Union about those things you need to be aware of when it comes to cybersecurity and practicing good cyber hygiene. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. Together, they can make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I always say we love them too. As I said earlier, we're going to take a deep dive into cybersecurity and those things you need to be aware of when it comes to fraud and protecting your personal identity. And I'm excited to introduce Mike Newborn, the Chief Information Security Officer at the Navy Federal Credit Union. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sergeant Major, for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. Before we jump into our discussion, I personally want to thank you and the whole Navy Credit Union team for being a longtime sponsor to the American Freedom Foundation and, of course, Your Next Mission. We just absolutely love working with you, and we're very grateful for your support. We have a lot to get to today, but before we do that, Mike, would you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I, as you mentioned, I'm the CISO for Navy Federal Credit Union. I've been doing cybersecurity risk management now for a little bit over 25 years. I've been at Navy Federal as a CISO for over the last 4 years. Previously, I was at a large management consulting firm, McKinsey. Spent some time over at Bloomberg BNA, I spent quite a bit of time hands-on at VeriSign. So this is my third time as a head of cybersecurity for an organization, and I'm really looking forward to having a good discussion today.
Okay, I appreciate that. Mike, what are the top three or four things we all should be concerned about when it comes to cybersecurity or fraud?
Yeah, so it's a great question. Before I get into the top three or four, I think it's how you look at cybersecurity and fraud in general. I like to think of this as it's about having good hygiene. And in order to, if you have good hygiene, you have a strong immune system. And a strong immune system does a good job dealing with viruses and, bad things that can happen to you. And if you do the right, good hygienic practices, right, then you're more likely to end in a much better place when you encounter these bad things. So I would say first, at a high level, and if you're in the information security field, we have this saying, trust but verify. As it says, when you trust but verify something, you get a message, you get an email, you get a text. You initially see, it looks like it's coming from my mom or a friend or a business partner. You should always verify that. If something's off, if your spidey sense says, something here doesn't seem right, you should go and try to validate it. So I think number one is probably trust but verify anything, especially digital communications that you receive today. The second thing is make sure that the technology that you use that's receiving these messages is up to date. So make sure your computers, your iPhone, iPad, Android device, make sure you have the latest patches and the software is up to date as well. That'll really help because those vendors are constantly updating their system and code to make sure that you know, that it's protected against the latest attacks. And there's a lot of attacks out there that are constantly changing. The third thing that I would recommend doing is subscribing to credit monitoring services. If you are a Navy Federal member, you actually have this service for free. But if you're not, then, you know, there's many ways to get it. Or if your data has been breached anytime in the last couple of years, you probably are entitled it free from multiple institutions out there. And the last thing I'd probably say is have really good credential or password management. That's really important. A lot of different websites and logins and applications all need passwords. Very hard to remember those. You want to have unique ones so that when one of them gets compromised, you don't have all of them compromised. And when you manage those, you want to do it in an intelligent way.
Well, you talked about some way that you guys, I'm a friend with Navy Federal Credit Union. Can't you just help me out with that security stuff? Never mind. I'll talk to you about that offline. Hey, Mike, how about emails? I mean, we get a lot of emails all the time and people are coming in and sometimes they really look, you know, pretty authentic. What do we need to look at when we're looking at emails?
So it goes to the very first thing I said, trust but verify. So you have links, you have attachments, and you have even things in there that you can't even see, but images that may render. The best thing you can do is, you know, take a look at the email. Do you get a bad feeling? If you do, then it's probably advisable not to do anything with it. Maybe just delete it, or if it seems like it's something urgent, find another way. Call the sender out of band, call the company. Don't pull from contact information in those emails. Absolutely don't click links. Don't open attachments. You know, really just avoid anything that looks suspicious. It doesn't mean for every single email you get in that you should never do anything with it, but it is going to become increasingly more difficult with technology that's being used today to generate emails that look more real. And we need to be really careful that we're diligent and cautious when we're looking at emails in general, especially given sort of the latest advents of artificial intelligence and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you talk about emails, I've seen some official looking emails, but then there's like one number or letter that's a little bit different. And I've got, in fact, I'm just going to say I got hacked a couple of years ago and somebody actually went into my computer and took everything that was coming in my inbox and started putting it in trash. And so I couldn't figure it out. And then I went to DC and a guy cleaned up my computer and said, you've been hacked. Here's what you need to do. So it's certainly challenging. Certainly, like you said, you got to make sure you verify what it is, who it's coming from, and don't open any attachments. How about texts? I mean, I get a lot of texts. Everybody does. Well, how should I be careful of my texts? Because I get too many of them anyway.
Yeah, Sergeant Major, that's a huge problem. I mean, I don't know what's happened in the last 2 years, but I've gotten every opportunity to win a Walmart or Target gift card by filling out a survey. It definitely has picked up the smishing, which is basically phishing, but with a text. You know, you got to be cautious, same sort of thing. You know, if you're on an iPhone, you have a green bubble versus a blue bubble. Blue typically means that it's coming from another iPhone device, although there are now ways to even simulate that. I would be a little bit more hesitant on green bubbles versus blue bubbles. Android a little bit different. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, you got to be careful of spoofing someone. It's very simple to fake an address that something comes from. Once again, don't click links. More recently, we're seeing similar things with QR codes malware or bad links are being embedded in QR codes where you take your camera and, you know, aim it at that, you know, kind of little looks like a big barcode, but in a square, a QR code, and it takes you to a bad site. So we've seen an uptick of that last year as well. I expect we'll continue to see that stuff. But yeah, text, emails, I look at them very, and it just depends on, who it's coming from and what the context of it is. But either way, trust but verify.
Did they ever catch any of these guys? It seems like, I mean, there's always out there and there's so many of them. Do they ever catch any of these guys that are doing this information? I don't know if you know the answer to that question or not, but.
Absolutely. They do catch them, but you know, on the fraud side, they're these big schemes, right? They get money mules out there, the lowest folks on the pyramid that, you know, are more desperate to make a buck. They have a sort of well-structured set of folks that manage that, but try to keep each layer more abstracted. So when you catch the lower level, it's harder to get to the higher level. So they do catch these guys, and you read sometimes, the government has done a sting operation, many, many months, sometimes years of work to shut down things. But there's so much of this happening out there. You know, everyone has to sort of place their bets where you get maximum value. There simply just isn't enough government resource to chase every single one of these bad actors. However, that you do see them caught. It happens. We've caught people at Navy Federal. We work closely with, law enforcement to do that. So it happens, but I sort of would say it doesn't happen enough.
Yeah, that's right. One last question before we take a quick break. Does it usually come from overseas, or is in the United States that the scams are? Where are they coming from?
So I would say, generally, I can come from either place, but I would say more often than not comes from overseas. Mm-hmm. Because there's and I say that they originate from overseas. A lot of times they'll bounce to different places, right? It looks like it's coming from, domestically, but they've compromised a computer here when it's, digital, a type of attack. If it's fraud, there's lots of different types of fraud. Some of it is in person, some of it is digital. Those, could be happening domestically, but they could be run from, crime syndicates that are overseas.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the type of attack and what we're talking about. When we're talking about fraud, that's one type of attack, right? But when we're talking about cyber attacks in general, that's all over the place.
Yeah. I said it was going to be the last question. I got one more question for you. I told you before we got on the show that I've got, fraud here a couple of years ago, and I lost a little bit of money in it, to tell you the truth. And when I called the organization that they was pretending to be, they knew everything about it. They knew that somebody was out there scamming or stuff. So how come we don't, I guess we try to get more information out there about it, but how come those large organizations that they're pretending to be, we don't have more information from them about what's going on, about all this fraud stuff?
Well, look, I would say this is unfortunately going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Every time you get a notification that your information was stolen, whoever got that information has it, right? Every time you downloaded a free app on your phone or, use some of the social media things and applications that are free, there's a little bit of privacy you're potentially giving away. And there are companies that make a lot of money trying to understand what your interests are, what your demographic is, what your background is, because they want to sell that and make money on their business model. Those companies may be, not evil companies. They just have a business, but those companies can get compromised. And now they have all your data and a lot of others. So I think there's unfortunately a lot of data out there that's available to a much larger group of actors than we would all like. And that makes it a lot easier for organizations to know a lot about you, because their objective, just like the, ad agencies, is to get you to click on the link to buy the product, to, for you to incentivize some sort of behavior. And they do it really well. It's something that's not going away anytime soon.
Hey, I said it was going to be one cut, but this is such a good conversation and I love it. Target a certain group of people? Like older people? Do they target older people? Young? Who do they target? Everybody, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're sometimes it's it looks like they've just tried to hit a whole bunch of people, and whoever responds, mm-hmm. Depending on the approach, I call it the scorched earth approach, right? They just see who responds and they go with it. The more sophisticated syndicates out there are probably much more targeted. And if your demographic by age is more susceptible to fall prey to a particular type of scheme or scam, then they're probably going to hit you. So they're not going to do well selling me Depends. But you know, someone who's 90 years old in a retirement home may get a better sinker on the with the bait. So I think it really just depends. But I do think people that are older or less computer literate aware are probably more likely susceptible to these things, as kids.
I think I just fell into all those groups. So I got to be really concerned about this. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Mike Newborn, Chief Information Security Officer at the Navy Federal Credit Union. Mike, you talked earlier about the importance it is to have a good credential password management. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
As I mentioned, credentials and how you manage them, or passwords, we use those kind of terms a lot of times interchangeably in the industry. They're your sort of keys to get into the house, get to the data, get into your app, get into your email, get into your, your bank's financial information. So it only makes sense that you protect those keys as best as you can. One way to do that is to make sure that where you store them, where you write them down, is a thoughtful approach and has good security in place. So when I talk about password management, it's all the good hygiene around having unique passwords at places, making sure that they're the right length, that they're not easily guessable. If possible, don't use a static one. Use ones that have what we call multi-factor, or potentially like a rotating PIN that's in addition to the password. So if someone were to, you know, steal your password, they need this extra factor to get in. And you want to do that either with what's built into your computer or phone, or with an external type of password manager that may offer you some additional features for convenience and security.
Yeah. What about phone calls? I was joking a little while ago. I called it Al, but I guess it's AI. And there's a lot of stuff out there on that. But I was reading this morning, I was reading in the paper online that a lady in California that had gotten a phone call, and she thought it was from her son. And she listened. He said he was in a wreck. And then a police officer picked up the phone and said it's going to cost $20,000 to get him out of jail. He hit a lady that was pregnant. I mean, just went on and on and on. And of course, when the husband got home, or when she called him, he called the police department. They didn't know anything about it. And it turned out his son was at school reading a book or doing something. What about that? How do we get through that? I guess it's the same thing. Just don't answer. Just don't do anything about it, I guess. I mean, I don't know. What's your recommendation?
Well, if I got a call for one of my kids and they were in that situation, I'm probably going to answer, and I'm probably going to be very concerned.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right? So I don't think you can ignore all this stuff, and I don't recommend that we do. But in that situation, what the threat actor is doing is trying to, you know, prey on your emotions. Yeah. You create a sense of urgency. It's a common technique. It works very well. Try to be as calm as you reasonably can. to think rationally, and going back to the things I recommend in doing, trust what you heard, but verify it.
Yeah.
You know, see if you can call the police, you know, out of band from the call, verify that this thing was real, take down a contact information, you know, get all the information. I think that that's really, really important. And probably the best advice I can give anyone. And it's what I tell family and friends.
Yeah. Yeah. A minute ago, I talked about, you know, all the scammers, do we ever catch them and stuff. So how can, you know, I guess as a citizen, how can we help the police or help somebody catch some of these bad actors from scamming? Is there something we can do, or is there something we need to do a little bit different?
So I think, you know, taking notes or saving, you know, the emails or texts or the communications are really important. The police or law enforcement obviously can't do anything if they don't know about it. So, you know, first starts with reporting these things. They are likely only going to do something in response based on the level of impact or severity that you have, right? So if someone stole a dollar from you, they're probably not going to do a whole lot. Yeah. If they stole $100,000 from you, that's a different story. So I think, you know, I'd say for the everyday person, you know, you can call your local law enforcement and, you know, you can file a police report. There are, you know, that if you want to try to catch the bad actors, that's what you need to do. If you want to protect yourself, you know, have the good hygiene. And I think depending on the severity of the situation, you know, you may want to do both. Now, this is a little different for a business like Navy Federal, who have, you know, a lot more resources, and there's, we have a lot more to lose at the aggregate level. You know, we're very mission oriented. So, we want to do everything we can to protect our members and make sure that they are the priority. The last thing we want is, you know, someone who is deployed in harm's way or their family members at home to have to worry about, you know, the situation that, you know, frauds happened and, you know, they can't get access to their financial instruments to, you know, buy, you know, basic needs, you know, clothes, food, whatever. Yeah. So I think it's really important that people keep notes and report these things.
Hey, I forgot to ask you something when you were talking about password. How often should I change my password? Or is there, you know, like every 6 months, every 90 days, once a year, is there a time frame in there that I ought to change it? And the other thing, I'm going to ask you a question. I know, the other thing, most people store their password and stuff on their phone, which is probably, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Is it? Because you're stored on the phone, you're talking about people maybe getting into my phone. So about those two, what I do, when should I change my password, and should I store that information on my phone?
Yeah, so on the first one, typically we recommend, we used to tell everyone to change their password in a much more frequent time frame. We found that, you know, that actually caused more problems than it helped with. I would say generally, if you're using a unique, long, very difficult to, you know, change password out there on a particular website, you shouldn't have to change that thing any more than once a year. If that, maybe even, you know, less often, depending on if that website has had a, you know, breach or that application has had an issue. Because if that password gets, you know, somewhere else, someone were to break into another app, they're not going to impact that password if it truly is a unique password. However, if you're someone who likes to use the same password for everything or for a bunch of things, you should be changing that thing really often. But I'd rather you not change it really often. I'd rather you go and create unique passwords on those websites. One thing to think about is not all sites are equal. So your, you know, financial institution, you probably want to have, you know, the strongest password with the best hygiene around it, because that's access to your money. You may not think about this, but your email, a lot of times, not only does your email have a lot of private information, it's a lot of times used to reset passwords for other sites. So that thing should be really kept under lock and key very well. I would absolutely try not just to have a password, but also a multi-factor capability with a rotating PIN or even a hardware token, which is an option out there too, that's even stronger. Can you repeat the second question for me?
Yeah, the second one of those was, I've got it stored in my iPhone.
Oh, yes.
You know, yeah, I got to store my iPhone. And so is that a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it's an okay idea, depending on how you store it. iPhone offers the ability to securely store credentials. And they can even support things like passkeys, which is an example of a multi-factor, sort of the latest multi-factor thing that's very consumer friendly, which is not like a traditional password, but a very large and a cryptographic key that's, you're not guessing. And so I think a phone is perfectly acceptable way to store a password. The only challenge with a phone is if you don't have it with you, then unless you're in that ecosystem, for example, like you may have a Mac or some other something else out there. And if you don't have that with you, then you can't access those credentials. But if you do have a Mac and you do have your iPhone, any one of them are going to give you access to your, you know, your credentials to log into a site. However, if you buy like a third-party password manager, that will work across multiple ecosystems, Windows, Mac, Linux, Unix, and that gives you more features and more capabilities. So those credentials, those keys to get into things are always with you, or more likely to be with you.
Yeah. When we finish the show, I'm going to go back and listen to it a bunch of times and make sure I get all that information. Let's talk about ransomware, which is such a big problem. Is ransomware a big problem, I guess?
Ransomware is a huge problem.
Yeah.
It really is something that it's a systemic problem in how we run systems today. Ransomware, by the way, ransomware in general typically is, you know, the situation where you have a, you know, malware that gets installed on your system, or in some cases it's not actually there, they just make you think it is, and they ask you to you know, pay them to remove it. A lot of times it will encrypt your files. They have all sorts of advanced versions of this. The main goal of the threat actor is to get paid money. And they're doing it at your expense, both financially, mentally, and also at the expense of, you know, your systems. And so it's a big problem. It's one of the biggest concerns I have in the position I am, is ransomware organizations do like to target financial institutions. But it really, you read about this, some of these situations are heartbreaking. I remember just a month or so ago, they targeted a set of hospitals. They had to turn people away from the ER because their systems weren't available. The medical records weren't available. A couple years ago, you recall Colonial Pipeline went down from ransomware. That caused issues for anyone who.
Well, they end up paying money to get the information in there. I'm not sure, but they did get some money from the scammers. Got money from them.
They may have in that situation, and that's part of the challenge, right? Do you pay or do you not pay? And if you do pay, you're encouraging more of this. Sometimes you're incapacitated so badly that you don't necessarily have a business choice, and you feel like you have to pay. But at the end of the day, we should be doing everything we can to discourage, you know, these bad actors and avoiding these situations. At the end of the day, though, ransomware is a big problem, to answer your question. We do a lot to protect against these things, to have a good, you know, immune system, as I was talking about earlier. But nothing is 100%. You constantly have to, you know, do your exercise and have, you know, a healthy diet to make sure that your immune system is strong against this type of threat.
Mike, if you don't mind, this year I'm going to send you a Christmas present. So you're my friend and sort of start helping me out with my
Happy to help you.
Hey, Mike, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what Navy Federal Credit Union is doing to help protect its members from fraud and how you can encourage good cybersecurity hygiene. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We got a lot more coming up, so don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from two more of the organizations who make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken.
I, state your
whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Mike Newborn, the Chief Information Security Officer at the Navy Federal Credit Union. And I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Remember, this is your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Mike, we're heading into our final segment with you today. And first of all, I don't want to let you go. I want to keep you here. But I hope you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. I just have a couple of more questions. What is the Navy Federal Credit Union doing to help protect its 13 million? I didn't realize you had that many. 13 million members from fraud and cyber attacks, and how are you encouraging practices of good cybersecurity hygiene within the organization?
So I'd basically break it down into two buckets. There's the things we kind of do behind the scenes, and hopefully, you know, our members never really have to see this. And there's the things that are more visible at the member, you know, to the external side of things. We take a layered defense approach. That means we don't depend on just one thing to protect us. We, you know, there's a few things I'd probably highlight. We have a 24/7, 365 day security and fraud operation centers. They are always looking out there, dealing with attacks. We get attacked all the time, and they're fending these attacks off. They're making sure that our systems are healthy. If anything seems like it's off, we try to get ahead of it before it materializes into a big problem or an event. Another thing that we do that kind of behind the scenes is we proactively look for exposed member credentials on the deep dark web. So as you know, a lot of websites, I said earlier, and apps are getting hacked and compromised. When that happens, they sell those credentials a lot of times on the dark web. We will look for that stuff alert members or alert their accounts when we find those things. So some of those things are the things we happen behind the scenes that maybe not as visible, a little bit more visible and direct member facing. We try to keep up with the latest security. As I mentioned earlier, multi-factor authentication is something that's really important. We offer that to all of our members. We actually started requiring it a few years ago. It's really important. We have a website called a Security Center. It's on NavyFederal.org/security. Has a whole bunch of best practices. We try to keep up with the latest trends. It'll do some health checks make sure, you know, for example, if you do it on your mobile app, there's a Security Center on that as well, to make sure that your app is up to date and your device is up to date. And occasionally we'll offer discounts on products. Sometimes they're security products. We recently launched a partnership with a password manager called 1Password. You could use that password manager or any other out there, but we really liked 1Password and we offered a really, really aggressive discount to our members. And we also offer free credit monitoring, as I mentioned earlier. So those are some of the things that we do for our members. The last thing I'll say is we also offer, we have partnerships with other organizations. One of them is called the Cybercrime Support Network, or CSN. And if you go to fightcybercrime.org, you'll see on there, it actually helps you if you get into any one of these situations where there's a scam. It's really easy to understand, and it has like a question and walk you through what you need to do to recover depending on the particular fraud or scam that you may have fallen victim to. So I really like that resource, I definitely point people there as well.
You know, you must be looking at my questions here. I have some questions laid out right here. I was going to ask you about resources, but you got it. Is there anything? You got all the resources that anybody could need in the Navy Federal Credit Union. Hey, Mike, first of all, let me say thank you for what you're doing. It's unbelievable. This is information that we ought to get out, certainly to all of our listeners, but really all of our country, as much as we can. This has been a great discussion, and thanks so much for coming on the show. Any final thoughts, anything that you want to share with the audience that maybe we missed or that we need to educate them or tell them about?
You know, my last thoughts are really just, you know, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I love the opportunity to have impact, especially to our military. I really take a lot of pride in the job that I've been, you know, I was offered, and it's an honor for me to be in this role where I can really help protect those that are helping protect the freedoms that I get to enjoy. I know myself and my team take this very seriously. And, you know, from the day you walk in as a new employee to Navy Federal, you are very much oriented to what our mission is. I just love helping people. The cybersecurity landscape, the fraud landscape is changing all the time. And it's really important that we all stay diligent and aware. But if you have good hygiene and if you're, you know, sort of thoughtful and make sure that you're focused on the actions that you're taking, I think, you know, most people are going to be okay. You'll find that most of the time people fall victim to these things. They're distracted or they just don't know what to do. And that's why the resources we have and the effort we put into education is really important and hopefully is having the impact that I think it is. Yeah. But thank you for having me.
Well, first, again, thank you for coming on the show. I mean, this is great information. I wasn't joking. I think we ought to bring you on at least once a year to talk about this kind of information, because I think we need to do a good job, but most people, I believe, they just sort of breeze over it and don't think it's going to happen to them. And unfortunately, I mean, like I said, it's happened to me a couple of times with different things. I mean, my credit cards got bumped a few times there. That's for doggone sure. Once again, I want to thank you, of course, and your team, and Navy Federal Credit Union for being a, you know, longtime sponsor of our our foundation, supporting the work that we're doing on behalf of our veterans and families. I mean, a lot of people talk about taking care of military and their families, their veterans and their families, but, you know, Navy Federal Credit Union doesn't talk about it, they do it. So thank you so much again for what you're doing and the whole team is doing at Navy Federal Credit Union.
Thank you, Sergeant Major.
All right, God bless. Thanks again to Mike Newborn from the Navy Federal Credit Union for being our guest today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I mean, if you listen to this, it's got to be a good review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's perfect fit for you. Check out this video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create your own individual profile. Scan a QR code on the screen or a QR code on the website to create your own profile. All information collected is confidential and won't be shared with anyone unless you want us to. Please know, we want to help you any way we can. I'm going to say that again. Please know, we want to help you any way we can. You can follow me on all of our personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, known as X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Mike Newborn. It was just unbelievable having him on the show. It was just such a great show. What a great discussion. And when I think about what I'm going to say on final thoughts, cybersecurity, fraud, never assume anything, change your password. I mean, he gave you all the great information that'll make you more secure in your family. And I got to say something. I asked him about age, because I know a lot of older veterans sometimes struggle with the computers and all that different kind of stuff. You got to check it out. You got to get somebody to help you. You know what I do is I usually get my granddaughter to come in and make sure I'm a little bit straighter anyway. But remember, be careful on the phone calls. Don't answer the phone calls. Let them leave you a voicemail. Just be cautious about what you're doing. You've worked too hard, too long to have a great life for somebody to come in just in a matter of seconds just flipped your life upside down. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.